Star Markets Celtics today. The Game 1 edition continues. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Markets. Just for you, digital app, earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Mike Malone said yesterday that the Nuggets practice Friday was the worst one he has had all the years he has been there, and it is not hard to understand why. Can you commiserate is the wrong word, but if it felt bizarre and strange and weird as a week 1,000 miles away outside the bubble here, I can't even fathom what is going through the hearts and minds of the group that you are with there.
Yeah, very heavy week. And obviously that those human emotions are going to affect everything else you do. And so that's number one. And, and the idea that the games were on pause for a few days, and then, you know, there was a little bit of, well, what's the next 24 hours going to look like on Wednesday night? And then deciding to, you know, resume this weekend. So, you know, they're in the middle of a series. So they're on getting ready for game six. Like, what else are you going to do in practice? You've already played a team 5 times. Donovan Mitchell's high pick and rolls versus Jamal Murray's high pick and rolls, right? Like, I understand when the guys get to practice, it's like, yeah, we know. But I think when we got to practice, it was just a heavier, you know, emotion. And the longer you're in the gym, I think the more you're excited to be in the gym. But, hey, everybody's human being first. And I think that really plays a role in the practice. And I think I heard Nick say this, took us a while to get going the last couple of days. But, you know, just like Toronto, we were also, when we left practice Wednesday, we were ready to play Thursday night. So then you come back and you have 2 more days of that, right? And so I think that all of those things added in probably affected how all those practices were across the league, but none more so than the human element and the emotions attached.
Were you pleased is the wrong word. We all, I think all of us, were going to support happily whatever decision the players made. Were you hoping they were going to stick it out, not because of the games, but because of the stage and the opportunity to demonstrate the character that so many have demonstrated publicly over the last few weeks?
I felt my role was to be there as support and a sounding board, you know, whether it was for the whole team or individuals that were planning on talking in the bigger group meetings with the other players or sharing their thoughts or anything that we could do where I could help. I just wanted to be a sounding board. With that said, I did not get the impression from any of our players that they didn't want to keep playing, but they also understood, you know, certainly why Milwaukee did what they did and very much supported it. And I think that was made clear by Jalen several times but others. But listen, this was again, everybody in here is a human being first and foremost. And so the emotions, everything going on, were far more significant than the desire to play basketball. And I think that after a few days of reflection and talking, coming to the idea that we're kind of keep playing, you know, I thought it was, you know, obviously very well thought out and a lot of people that really care.
Speaking of having a lot of time to prepare, you understand the probabilities as well as anyone during the 4 months away, not the 3 days away, but the 4 months away, you had to know the most likely scenario statistically was seeing the Sixers in the first round. And if you were successful, it was going to be Toronto in the second round. How much time between the kids and the Peloton and however else you filled the 4 months did you spend thinking about essentially what this day now is and the start of a series against Toronto?
Well, I think you spend the middle of that hiatus thinking about that, when it looks like there might just be 16 teams coming back and you may play, you know, Philly. And if you're lucky enough to beat them, maybe you will play Toronto. But, you know, that was like in May. So then when you get here, you create a 3-week plan to get your team ready to practice physically and emotionally and mentally ready. And you're not really thinking about other opponents. You're thinking about yourself. And then it was good to play those seeding games just from the standpoint of having the game plan and prepare and get ready. Once you get into the playoffs, we've had a full week anyway. So, like, there's not going to be a lot of secrets out there by either team. It'll be interesting to see how the first couple of games go. But I think that, you know, this is a really good team we're playing against. And they're capable of going to a different level than a lot of teams in the league.
And they've been the best team in the calendar year. Defensively, they have been immaculate, which is really incredible considering we talked a little bit about them not having the traditional size now when they play Lowry and Van Vliet together. You talked about how those two guys defend up, and you can sort of figure out what that means in terms of their size. How vital a skill is that in today's NBA, and part of what makes this, you know, arguably this is the best defensive team in the league?
Well, they're smaller than the Houston guys, but we talk about trying to attack linebackers. Those guys are thick, strong. You know, they can chest you on the dribble. They swipe at every ball, so they're, like, going to be super physical and super aggressive trying to take the ball away, so you're always uncomfortable. So they can both guard bigger guys. And, you know, Lowry's matched up on Tatum a lot in our games thus far. Who knows how they'll decide to do that, but certainly that is something that they've shown a lot of. And then, you know, one thing about them being small is the rest of those guys aren't. Siakam is big. Ananobi's really big. And then Gasol and Ibaka are huge. We talked about this before our seeding game with them. Nobody talks about their fives. They have great 48 minutes at the five. You know, we just got done with that with Embiid and Al. Embiid destroyed us. You know, let's be real right now. Part of it was we knew that we didn't have a ton of answers for him, you know, and we were just trying to make it as hard as possible, as long as possible, but he destroyed us. So, like, we have to be a lot better against those fives because these guys are – Gasol and Ibaka are big-time players. And so the guards and the drivers get a ton of attention, rightfully so. They got a lot of good players they can go to.
It's going to be fascinating to see. That's the head coach. Listen, dodge this one if you like. I get it. But after the week that it has been, I was thinking about this sort of strange life that you have had from Butler, all the things we've talked about over the years, Butler and Eli Lilly and two Final Fours and two kids and 7 years now with this amazing job title that you have. And only three guys in the history of the world have held longer than you've had it. And it occurred to me, as I was this week missing my wife, you have been away from your best friend who has been with you for all of the things that I just mentioned over the years. And this was a week, I imagine, as difficult as a lot of us have been through. You talk a lot about mental health and how it's a priority for the players and for everybody. How have you been dealing with this time away from your family?
So I've said this from the first meetings I was a part of in May, that this was going to be a major, major issue. You know, we're talking about health and with COVID, and rightfully so, and creating this bubble that is totally prioritized with health. But mental health was not as big of a priority. Obviously, it still is. You know, they've created opportunities for people to have people to talk to. It certainly is a discussion, but you couldn't, it was easy to predict that this was going to be difficult. It's obvious to predict that this was going to be difficult. Staffs don't get families, players do, referees do, you know, and I think it ultimately we'll see if they change that. I hope they change that because, yeah, it makes the benefit of this, right, is you get a chance to be on this stage and inspire. You get a chance to be on this stage and empower. And you get a chance to share the joy of playing a kid's game together. And so when you're in the gym, you really enjoy that. And that's the best part of the day. That's the part for us that probably has felt the most normal, right? And then, but the wins feel a little bit more hollow because you don't get to celebrate them with the people that you love face to face. And, you know, the losses are the losses. The losses always eat at you regardless. And it's nice to go home to normalcy. So I think that that's something that, and then bigger than both of those is when these, you know, like real world events that drive you to these heavy emotions and you're still in the same hotel room. And so like when you hear the other players talk about it, Paul George, LeBron, et cetera, that's real. And to think that that was unpredictable is not true. But I think that hopefully everybody has a better understanding of that. And hopefully they continue to make accommodations as we go through this, because that's important that we really take care of all the people that are here. And, you know, I've got an incredible staff. We had 17 people here to start. Now we have 20 people here. And there's a ton of wives and kids at home that are, you know, enjoying every game, but I think certainly would have enjoyed participating in this experience. Again, I understand it from the health standpoint, but there's a lot of things that I think we could do different if we have to go through something of a irregular season again.
That's the head coach. I didn't include myself on that list because I wanted to see Tracy and the kids first. I know I would be right. Like it's one and one A. I get it.
I get to see, by the way, are we showing these?
I don't think so, but I think somebody will. I think someday we can all look back, make a DVD out of them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'd listen to none of those. But, you know, maybe somebody somewhere would. Yeah, thanks for giving Tracy a shout out. I'm pretty sure that my kids and Tracy miss me less than I miss them. And I'm very sure they're not going to listen to this pregame. So you sent her a lot of great compliments and she deserved them all. But unfortunately, they'll go on deaf ears.
Well, if you ever get in trouble, you just save this and pull it out. Maybe that'll bail you out.
That sounds good. Thanks for all that. I really appreciate you.
Game one is next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.